We have bill, Senate Bill number 9 on the agenda, number first thing this morning. Senate Bill number 9 is pertaining to certain full-time post-secondary students to vote in the municipal and school elections. So, Chris, would you like to talk to us about that bill, please?
Thank you. Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Chris Nelson. I'm the State Election Supervisor in the Secretary of State's office. The Secretary of State's office brings you 5 bills this morning, dealing with various aspects of our election process. The first one deals with who can vote at school and municipal elections, and just a little bit of background. Currently, in order to vote in a school or municipal election, you have to meet 2 criteria. First, you have to be registered in that area, and then secondly, you have to be a resident of that area. And resident is defined as somebody who has lived there at least 30 days within the last year. Can be any 30 days, doesn't need to be consecutive, but any 30 days. That was put into statute probably 5-6 years ago, and we have been applying that residency standard. We've come up with a situation where college kids typically, if they don't come home in the summertime, but they've got a job someplace else, and so they may not meet that 30-day physical residency requirement, and so right now they're being precluded from voting in city and school elections back at their home precinct. And so what this bill does is basically says for city and school elections, if you are that full-time, post-secondary student, college, vote tech, what have you, and you don't happen to come back home for at least 30 days, we're still going to let you vote in your city or school election, just like those that that reside there full-time. Be happy to answer any questions.
Senator Reedy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Reedy asking the question. Chris, the 30 days, could a student live in the college town for 30 days and live at home for 30 days in the summertime and vote in both places?
No. A person can only be registered in one location, and so they would have to choose. And that's a good point. College students, they can choose whether they want to remain registered at the home address or whether they want to register at the university address. It's their choice. This is aimed primarily at those that choose to remain registered at mom and dad's address, but they don't happen to come back for that 30 days during the year.
If I may.
Go ahead.
How long does it take when you register from one switch from one district and register another? How long does it take the first district to know you're gone?
It could take a couple weeks. When you fill out that voter registration card to register in the new county, there's a bottom portion of that card that you fill out as a cancellation portion, and the auditor sends that back to the old county.
But if the auditor doesn't get around to do it for 2 months?
They would be on both lists for 2 months. Now, I will further add, and this is kind of a sidelight, a year ago you folks authorized us to put together a statewide voter registration system, which we have completed. A component of that system specifically goes out and identifies people that are registered twice within the state, and we've got a process whereby we can delete the older of those registrations. If for some reason there's a lag in getting that cancellation card or the person registering doesn't fill it out, then we've got a process now in place where we can specifically go out and delete those.
Thank you. That was my question, if it is done centrally.
Yes.
Senator Vitter.
Madam Chair. Chris, just for informational purposes, how would you prove that somebody was there 30 days? Well, what would be the method of going about?
The way this occurs is if somebody comes in to vote and they are challenged on their residency, they have to be challenged at the polling place. If nobody challenges them, they can go ahead and vote and nothing ever comes of it. But if a poll watcher or somebody else challenges, then the challenger presents their evidence that, no, you haven't been there 30 days. I, as the voter, say, yep, I have, and here's my evidence. And then the election board makes a decision based on the evidence presented whether or not the residency requirement is met. From our experience, in most cases, when the voter is presented with a law that says, hey, you got to live here 30 days, in most cases they say, oh, you're right, I haven't lived here 30 days, and they walk out.
Senator Dietrich.
Madam Chair. Thank you. Mr. Nelson, Doesn't our state law allow you to determine your address even though you don't live there?
I'm not sure I'm following the question.
Well, our senators, for instance, in Washington, D.C., have a post office box.
Yes.
And they come back and they vote.
Yes.
Well, doesn't every citizen in South Dakota have that same privilege? You don't have to be physically...
In a primary and general election, yes. See, in a primary and general election, the only requirement you have to meet is to be registered at that
right.
location. And you may move away from that location, but in a primary and general, you can come back to your original registration address and continue voting. In city and school elections, you've got to meet that second physical right. residency. That's the difference.
Thank you, Chris. Mm-hmm.
Along that same line, we are talking in Rapid City of combining two elections.
Mm-hmm.
But with the primary, with our regular general primary. So the residency requirements will be different in those two elections on the same day.
Yes, that is correct. And that does become a bit of a challenge for the election workers if somebody is challenged pursuant to this section. Frankly, our experience is that in most cases it's the smaller towns and smaller school districts where this becomes an issue, where people have moved away and come back, and there's a greater chance of them swaying the election because of the smaller pool of voters.
Do you know what the average turnout is for a municipal or a school board election across the state?
Between 20% and 40%.
Okay.
Now, if you do a school bond election or tax opt-out election, you can get considerably higher than that.
Thank you. Are there further questions? Are there opponents to Senate Bill 9? Opponents. Seeing none, I will close the public hearing and ask for disposition of the bill. Senator Reedy? The motion has been to do pass on Senate Bill 9. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Dietrich. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, all of those in favor of Senate Bill 9 as a do pass, an act to permit certain full-time post-secondary students to vote in municipal and school elections, signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Albers?
Aye.
Senator Dietrich?
Aye.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Senator Reedy?
Aye.
Senator Bitter?
Aye.
Senator Hamm?
Aye. There's a motion to put Senate Bill 9 on the consent calendar. Is there a second?
Yes.
It's seconded by Senator Dietrich. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Okay. The motion did not carry.